I don't often in life have such crazy stories that happen to me. And I said, like, when at the beginning of this corona, when there was Ganim going on until they started closing those, my life was not really affected all that much. I came to work, went to shul, my kids went to Gan. I don't really leave Ramat Beit Shemesh so often. I wasn't really so affected. I can imagine for a Shana Aleph and Shana Bet guy, maybe it was a little more difficult. So I don't live the most exciting and glamorous of lives. But this week, I had really a crazy story that happened to me, which will show I don't live such a crazy life because it didn't involve me moving and I was home when it happened. But I'm on my computer about 9 o'clock doing some work, and I get an email with a subject that says Mechila, and like a pretty familiar name. So I didn't think it was spam. I didn't know who was asking for Mechila. You know, it's not, okay, I mean, for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur makes a little more sense, but, you know, in the middle of Iyar, you know, in Nisan, in Iyar, you don't get so many people that are asking for Mechila. Okay, I open up the email, and the guy says, my name is so-and-so. I think, like, well, I don't remember that. But he's like, oh, but you might know me as so-and-so. I'm like, oh, Ayataka, I remember so-and-so. He's like, 20 years ago, we were in camp together. I got really, really upset. I got in a whole fight, and I punched you. And I got really angry, and it's been on my mind for a while. You forgive me, and I'll do anything. What do you need me to do to forgive you? Okay, so I'm, like, thinking this through. I'm like, first thing, I'm like, let me make sure I remember the guy. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I know the guy. I'm like, I have zero reference of him hitting me. You know, for all we know, you were playing football and, like, you know, he was going for, like, a tackle, so I wouldn't call that, like, so malicious. I have no idea. For all I know, he actually took out his arm and he punched me in the face, and I didn't remember it either. I literally had no clue. I'm like, okay, of course, I forgive you. You know, you should be blessed, you know. Then I was hoping, you know, he found my email address and, like, maybe he has some money. Okay, he told me he was in coal. Okay, so that, you know, that went out the window. But I started to think, in general in life, whenever you do anything like that, you know, we don't generally go through such quick transformation. You know, if a guy is like today, let's say today, for whatever reason, after the shmooze, like David's like, you know, it would be a good idea. I'll go to, like, you know, Crack Square. I'll go get like 57 shots of vodka, you know, and then, like, have a screwdriver for dessert. And you know, come back plastered. Go, like, in the basement and do stupid things. Go to Rabosa's door and start egging his door. And then tomorrow, come and tell Rabosa, you know, I want to go learn in the mirror for the rest of my life. Or YU, whatever it might be. You know, that's not really something people go through. You know, it's not, it wouldn't make sense. Okay, generally when things like this happen, it has to be something's going on in his life. You know, there is not really so many other explanations. But, you know, if we want to play like the Donald Chatzchus, the guy's just a tzaddik, and maybe he is, and you just want to ask for tshuva, you know, it got me thinking of, like, when Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur time, and in general, or, like, you know, yesterday I had one of my kids wanted to play a game, and then one of my other kids wanted to play the game. And the first kid thought it would be a good idea to, like, basically, you know, drag his sibling, who's, you know, 25 pounds less than him, you know, across the hole. Okay, didn't end so well. And then I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna play with you. He's like, why? I'm like, because you just attacked your sibling. He's like, okay, I'll say sorry. You know, okay. And he says sorry. As anyone might know, they've ever said sorry to a sibling, it's not the most sincere thing in the world, and it's really as much as a patur to be able to get on with life. Because whatever reason you're being told why you have to say sorry, that's the only reason why you're saying sorry. And okay, fine. You know, whatever it is, but. When you try to think, when you're really asking for forgiveness and really doing, like, inner looking, you know, you guys are all tzaddikim, you know, sometimes even the tzaddikim of the tzaddikim can mess up. And, you know, especially when it comes to being another mamakom, let's say you do something and, like, you know, you think God has tightness on you, so you're in Shmoneh Esrei and you ask God for forgiveness, it's not so bad. It's not so easy either, but it's not as bad because, you know, the guy next to me in my chavrusa doesn't know what I did. It's between me and God. But when I do something to a friend of mine and then I have to ask for forgiveness, that's really hard. Like, I can imagine for this guy, he's searching online, finding my email address, asking me for mechila, whatever he's going through is very hard. And to think about that, what it really means to ask for true forgiveness, and before, you know, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur will be here sooner than we think, and we could also, you know, you might ask for mechila besides then. You know, there's nothing wrong if the guy asked for mechila today, you know, or last week, whatever, but there's nothing wrong with that. But to really think about things that we've done, and, like, to really, you know, imagine going back 20 years in life, and you guys aren't even 20, but imagine going back 10 years in life and thinking to what happened, and then I told this to one of my friends, and he's like, you know, I actually, a similar thing happened to me when I was like first year in camp, and then like the next year I was in camp with this guy, and it was super awkward because we never asked for forgiveness and we had gotten in a fight, and like, you know, I see the guy around and it's still a little awkward because he had never asked for forgiveness. But what it really is to search within our souls of what it is that we've done possibly wrong, and what mechila we have to ask. So that was not really so on topic for what we're going to talk about, but when we have crazy stories, I think it was crazy, or when things that just are out of the norm that happen, it's good to share them. So as we discussed last week, there's 48 ways to acquire Torah. One of them is learning, which can be done from all branches of yeshivas. It's not limited to some yeshivas more than others. The second thing is Shmias Ozen, is listening. So it's brought that the Rashba brings down in the Parish that there's really three things you have to do when you're hearing someone. You have to accept what they're saying. So I'm saying you have to accept it. You have to hear what someone's saying, and you have to understand what it is that they're saying. So those are very, very important things to take in. And then also another very important idea, and we discussed this a few weeks ago, is that one has to really be open to change. Because what happens is you hear things, you don't really take them in. It's like part of like you maybe accept it, you maybe understand. Okay, you probably understand more. You don't really hear it, but you have to really be open. And I had seminary girls for Shabbos, and one of them's in a Beis Yaakov seminary, which in of itself is it's fascinating what goes on in worlds without phones, etc. And one of them told me her friend does something which I actually thought was brilliant. They ask a lot of questions in seminary. Okay, you probably ask a lot of questions in yeshiva, and like a lot of times you'll ask a question and you know, you don't really think much of it. Maybe you accept it, maybe you don't accept it. But this girl, every time she asks a teacher a question, she writes it down. And then at the end of the year, she wants to look back, or in 2 years and 3 years, was that advice really good or not good? Was it a good Eitzah or was it a bad Eitzah? And that's really brilliant. Number one, we are allowed to, first off, as a Beis Yaakov Mahalach, that's not usually what you hear, so I was very surprised. But number two, it's not always, like, you know, you might ask me advice, I might give you bad advice. Hopefully I'm giving you advice that I think is good for you or good for a person, but I might give you advice that isn't good. So you want to know down the road, was it really good advice? And you're really able to value it. And what that does, Oza David, when you do that is, you're constantly, it's on your mind. It's constantly on your focus, whether or not what I heard was really advice that I want to take in, or is it just advice? Okay, whatever. Was I really listening? Were my ears open? Was I really listening to what they were saying? I heard a story from Matisyahu Salman. I don't know if he is or was the Mashgiach of Lakewood. Don't cut yourself. Okay, good. Nobody's going to know it was you. No one should cut themselves. We're not in the door of trying to cut ourselves.
I mean,
sometimes people come to shir. Like, let's say you go to receive shir, and you know, you have really no interest. Like, you know, it's probably going to be a daunting task because you're probably not going to be successful. But let's say your whole goal is, I want to shlug up receive. I don't really understand what he's saying, but I want to come up with something. He's not going to have an answer. You know, probably in the last 15 years, I've asked him several thousand questions. There's been one time he didn't have an answer right away, or he didn't know something. So, you know, it could, you might be in for a long goal. So Rav Matisyahu Salman says, sometimes you have people that come to shir, and all they're looking to do is they're looking to have the question, to shlug up the person. They're not looking to understand. They just want to shlug up the person. And Rav Matisyahu Salman says on this mission of what it really means, Shmias Ozen, what it really means to listen is, that's not the goal. The goal is not to shlug up. That's the antithesis of what we're trying to accomplish. The goal is, I want to hear. I want to hear what you're saying. I want to accept what you're saying. I want to put that into a part of myself. I want to have every, you know, I think that Leva Torah is like the perfect paradigm for what it means of a real experience in Israel, in the sense that the Rebbeim really come from different avenues. And I want to take in everything. Every Rebbe who brings a different thing, I want to take in everything. I don't want to just have, oh, it's only this route or only that route or only, you know, first of all, anyway, maybe 20 years ago that would work. But, you know, nowadays, you know, you can't really be a Litvish with no Hasidic blood or a Sephardi who just loves every Jew. Like, you have to really take in every part, because that's just the world that we're living in. But we're trying to find, I want, everyone has something to offer me. Everyone has something great to give, and I have to be open to that. And I really need to hear the words. It's not just, you know, like you're thinking, like sometimes you have this, also, not even trying to shlug up, and this is, I mean, it's happened to me, I'm sure it's happened to each of you. You're at a shir and you just have a question. whatever the question is. Maybe it is that you want people to be in present. Maybe you just don't understand. And what happens to our brain at that point, I go to Shir every Shabbos, and at some point I have a question, and the exact thing happens. For 10 minutes I'm thinking of my question, and totally spacing out to what's being said next. That's not what we want to do. When Rav Kenny is saying things over, David, forget about trying to schlug up Rav Kenny. Do that in your own time, or don't schlug up Rav Kenny. But take in everything that he's saying, and everything he's saying has real real value. There's real value to it, and there's a there's a lot to be said in relationships. Also, you know, it only goes that far when you're on. When you have any relationship with a friend, or you know, when, on a date, or whatever, you know, whatever it might be, if you're not playing both cards, and I'm listening to what you're saying, and you're listening to what I'm saying, it's never going to go anywhere. It has to be that I'm open and not just trying to think about, oh, what do I want to say next? Like, which in general, you know, that's a general mahalach what we want to do. But there needs to be the focus. There needs to be attention towards what other people want to say. 2 years ago, there was a guy, Yoshana Aleph, who he convinced for an independent study. His independent study was to walk me home. With a little bit, he liked to walk me home. He liked the shmooze. He also liked to go to Tiferet after, but which I lived very close to at the time. Not that I live so far now, but I lived, probably lived closer at the time. And we would walk, and it was really, for me, it was an unbelievable like study for both of us of just the one-on-one, you know, conversation and just really listening and really taking in what the other person had to say. And I know he grew from it, and I grew tremendously from it. But if the whole thing was, I just want to see what I want to say, I don't want to ever hear what you have to say. And we both together worked on like real things and really were able to grow together and to take that in. You know, you have how many weeks left to yeshiva? We'll just say seven. Sounds good. Six, seven, whatever's left. And you'll have a lot of time between with the Rebbe and with Talmidim, with Madrichim, whoever it might be, who have a lot of valuable things to offer you both for now, for next year, for 2 years, for 5 years, for 20 years from down the line. And I remember this, and I was shut out 15 years ago, and now this is so inspiring. I still remember, like, to the date, from Boaz, Parshas Bamidbar, spoke at Shal Shudis, and he got up and he said, look to the right, look to the left, look around the room, one of you is going to intermarry. And I think that's actually true. It's sad, but I still remember that to this day. And it could have been, like, at that time, I could have been, like, my mind couldn't have been on there. And there was, that's just the one example that comes to my mind, but there's many, many things I remember hearing from 15, 20 years ago that still stick with me to this day. And the only reason it sticks me to this day is because I was attentive to listen to what was being said. And now is the time. And take that challenge of that seminary girl. Maybe in general, being more like the Beis Yaakov girls will just be better. But, you know, just to write down and to see, was that advice useful? And was that advice useful for me in 2 years, 3 years, or 5 years from now? But to being open that, like, I'm not just asking a question because I want to know for now. The same thing, like, my wife tells me, that, like, especially, like, with the Chagim. Like, write down the questions you ask for Pesach, because you know what's going to happen? Pesach's going to come next year. And you know what's going to happen? You're not going to know if this is kosher. And you're not going to know if this is good. So write it down so you have the answer. So okay, obviously on a halachic point of view that makes sense. But from a life perspective and a hashkafic point of view, it makes just as much sense. I want to know if that was correct advice. If that was the derech of life that I wanted to be taking. And the only way that we can really be successful and to really be kone on Torah and really in all aspects of life is listening, because as you know, as your life will go on, as you'll move on to other phases, as you'll get jobs, if you don't listen, if you're not picking up cues, you're going to be in for a lot of failure and a long road. And you know, once we're going to this point of living life, might as well try to be as successful as possible. Shkoyach.